Would you join me once again in the Gospel according to Numbers? The Gospel according to Numbers, and we're in chapter 4. We're going to try to get through most of this chapter today. It has a lot of similarities in three different places that we want to look at, and we'd like to title it, As It Pleased Him. As It Pleased Him. The works of the sons of Kohath, what they were responsible for in moving the tabernacle, is listed in verses 4 through 15. The book of Numbers, chapter 4, verse 4, we have a list of the activities and responsibilities of this single part of the Levites. In chapter 4, and verse 4, it begins with these words, "And it shall come, shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things." And then it talks about what their responsibilities are in moving the tabernacle and also setting it up. And then if you look at verses 21 through 28 of this chapter, we'll find that we have the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Take the sum of the sons of Gershon throughout the house of their fathers by their families," and gives us what was the requirements there. "And their service shall be the coverings," verse 25, "they shall bear the curtains of the tabernacle and the tabernacle of the congregation, his coverings, and the covering of badger skins that are above it, and the hangings for the door and the tabernacle of the congregation," and so forth. It speaks about what their responsibilities would be in this fourth chapter of the book of Numbers. And then if you look at verse 29 of this chapter, we find that the sons of Merari, they had a responsibility given to them also. It tells us there that those that were 30 years old up to 50, there was a certain number that was to be given charge of this tabernacle of the congregation, and it was their responsibility to take care of, in verse 31, the boards of the tabernacle and the bars thereof and the pillars thereof and the sockets thereof, the pillars of the court round about and their sockets and their pins and their cords, with all their instruments and with all their service, and by name you shall reckon the instruments of the charge of their burden. These three groups of Levites, given certain names as their fathers were given, have these certain responsibilities imposed upon them, and we do not find that God allowed them to take a vote on who is going to be given the responsibility for doing this act or this act or this act. We find, in fact, that the Lord of heaven, the God of heaven, imposed upon them. Now, how did you get into one of these work details? For it was a work detail. It was a servant detail that was given to them. Some of them looked more difficult than others. Some of them looked like they had more responsibility than others. We found last week that it was the Kohathites were to be warned about peeking into the tabernacle or peeking in to where these various items that were in the holy place and the holy of holies. Don't go looking in there unless you see something that's uncovered and you die. You leave it until the Levites, Aaron and his sons, come back and say, it's ready for removal. It's ready to be removed. Put it on your shoulders and take it. Up to that point, stay away. There were certain responsibilities that were given these. How did you get into one of these work details? You must be born into that detail. It was not something that you chose. It was not something that you voted on. It was that you were born into these work details. We brought a recent message on the deacons are born and not made. Servants are born and not made. You cannot make somebody faithful by making them into an office, putting them into an office. God makes people faithful, and they will be servants. And if we call them deacons and deaconesses, we haven't hurt anybody. We find, in fact, those words are hidden in the Greek language, and they're for male and female, servants of the Most High God, whether they be bond or free, male or female, Jew or Greek, they're servants of the Most High God. The Lord gives the needed ability to do the respective responsibilities of every one of his children. You know, we're going to look at a few examples in Scripture that God gave the needed responsibility, the needed ability as he gave the responsibility to them. Now, one of those is listed here in the book of Numbers. A little later, it may be some time before we get back to this place, but in the book of Numbers, chapter 27, we find that Moses is being informed that he is going to pass away. He's not going to go into the promised land. And you know, a lot of people say in commentaries and so forth how sad that was. Well, for the church as a type and a shadow and a picture, we find that that's comforting. The law is not going to take us into heaven. The law has nothing to do with our salvation. Now, he was a saint. He's called by faith. Moses. Moses did a number of things by faith. God gave him the faith to do those responsibilities. And yet here in the book of Numbers, chapter 27, we find that there was a time that Moses did something that displeased God so much. He said, I'm not going to let you go into the promised land. Well, as I said again, the church says, thank you, Lord. And I'm sure Moses did too, because he doesn't seem to be too upset about it. He's going to get to look into the promised land. Here in the book of Numbers, chapter 27 and verse 12, the scriptures share this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, get thee up into this Mount Abram, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. So the Lord informed him, this is where you're going to be when you die, and you're going to die while you're there. And he says, for ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin. The law never can do anything but judge. The law never brought peace. The law never brought hope. The law never brought anything that is constructive. It always condemned. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one that gives us hope. He's the one that gives us peace. There is no peace in trying to keep the law. There's only peace in Christ Jesus. Well, at this time, we find here in the book of Numbers, chapter 27, that the successor for Moses is going to be given. Now, we've already had a successor for Aaron, his son, Eleazar, and he has an important part to play in this. It says in verse 15, and Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of the flesh, set a man over the congregation. You know, I have empathy with that very word that Moses did. Used to really concern me, what's going to happen here when I'm gone? Because I'm going to die. What's going to happen? Well, I found out it's not my worry. It's in the hands of the Lord. That's what we're going to find out. Moses was concerned. Please have someone take over that is a man of God. And it says here in verse 17, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him charge in their sight. So the Lord gave Joshua this great commission to be the leader of Israel, to take the children of Israel across the Jordan River and into the promised land that God had given them. Joshua, what a beautiful picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, that takes all his church into the promised land. And it's not by law, it's by grace. It's not by command, but it is by the gift of God. It is the love of God that constrains us. And it is the riches of Christ that provide all of the necessary things. Here we find this wonderful example of Joshua. And then it tells us in here in verse 22 and 23 of that same chapter, Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before the congregation. It's interesting that there wasn't a contest here, two or three people to be voted upon. There was only one man selected by God to be the leader of the children of Israel. And there's not a contest of who is going to be the Savior. There's only one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We have, again, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, keep your finger over here in the Old Testament because we're going to come back But look over here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we find the writer of the 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, but he was just a secretary. He was only moved by the Holy Spirit to write what he wrote. And as we heard read there this morning in the book of Galatians chapter 1, when it pleased God to save me, then this man had a great confession in Christ Jesus. Well, here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have some instructions made, just as we find with relationship to those three groups of Levites and their responsibilities that they were given to move the tabernacle and to set it up again. Some had the responsibility of all the holy things in the tabernacle. Some had the tabernacle itself and the boards of the tabernacle and the boards outside and all of those things. And some had the responsibility of the coverings and all of those things. We're going to find that there's about 8,000 people that were used to move the tabernacle when it was moved and when it was set up. Of those groups, in fact, there was 8,580 of these three groups that were used to move that tabernacle. Everybody had a burden, but it wasn't an overburden. And here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I would like to read beginning with verse 4. It says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but I want us to emphasize the last part of that verse. But the same Spirit." Now, the one that led those three groups of Levites to do the work did not lead them into confusion. They were marching in their proper place. They had what God required of them, and he imposed upon them this work, but he did not overburden them. Here we find with regard to the gifts that God gives the church that there is one, what's it say there? There is one, the same Spirit. So the Spirit of God is involved in all of what we're going to read here. Just as we find in all the scriptures, the Spirit of God does not lead one group in this direction and this group in another direction. The truth is always the truth, and only the truth of the gospel will save God's people. Well, it goes on to verse 5. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There's not variations here. We're not have different paths to go. You know, when those three groups got ready to move, they had one thing in mind, and that was to move until that cloud or that pillar of fire stopped, and the next thing that they were required to do is set it up. And the Holy Spirit led them all in the same direction, and they set it up in an orderly fashion. There was not competition. They were working for the glory of God. Well, here it tells us here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6, there are diversities of operations, but the same God. God does not have different responsibilities for different groups of people. He doesn't have different ways. He is going to be the same sovereign God over all his people. Then it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So what God does, he had this group doing this ministry and this individual out of that group doing this ministry because it pleased him to do it. He didn't take a vote. How many want to carry a cloth? How many of you want to cover up this holy instrument? How many of you want to carry a board? He imposed it upon them as it pleased him. Follow this out now. Verse 8, for to one is given the Spirit by wisdom, to the another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. There will not be a contradiction among those two. The same Spirit gives it to him. To another, faith by the same Spirit. So every one of these 8,500 people that were doing the service of moving that tabernacle were moved by the Holy Spirit, moved by God to do what their responsibility was, and God gave them the ability to do what he called on them to do. Verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another to the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. who chose the Kohathites to do their responsibility? God. Who chose the other two to do their responsibility? God gave them that responsibility. He chose them for that business. And then it goes on to here in verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that every believer in Christ Jesus is given the same perspective about Christ, that he is their Savior and he is their only Savior, and they trust him alone. There is not variations on this. Whether he be Jew or Gentile, verse 13, whether he be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. And then in verse 18 of that, but now hath God set the members, every one of them. Now it's wonderful when we compare those three groups of the Levites and the moving of the tabernacle, that they were all appointed to do their responsibility by Almighty God. And then we find out they had to be born into that responsibility. They just didn't create an office for themselves. And we find concerning the church in which some of those folks were in, the church of the living God, it says, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body. It is God that sets the members. What does that mean? It's God that chooses them. It's God that imposes upon them, brings them to under the hearing of the gospel. It is God that opens their ears to hear the gospel. It is God that put them there. And then notice that last phrase in verse 18, as it hath pleased him. Oh my goodness. Everything that happens is as it pleased him. He's the one that is pleased when he acts. This greatest statement here, and we're going to find this a number of places in the scriptures. It pleased him. It pleased him. When it pleased him who called me by his grace. When it pleased him. Well, turn with me back to the Old Testament again. In the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 31. In Exodus chapter 31, God makes a choice of somebody that has been given by God great ability in casting gold and silver and bronze, great ability in cutting stones. Here he is. Exodus chapter 31, verse 1. As we think about those 8,500 plus individuals between this age group and this age group that God called to do various jobs in moving the tabernacle and setting it up again. Notice back here when the tabernacle was going to be built, and verse 1 of chapter 31, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by my name Bezalel, the son of Uriah, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. I have called by name this one. And this guy's name means in the shadow of God. I have called this one. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship. I have put that there. I gave him wisdom. I gave him understanding. I gave him knowledge in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works of work in gold and in silver and brass, in the cutting of stones to set them, in the carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. And behold, I have given him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamash, and the son of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee. What a thought. Here God has commanded this to be made, but he also goes over here and he commands these men to be called out and given the wisdom on how to build it. He has set all in the church as it pleased him. Now he's given them various gifts. But as it is severally or sovereignly given to each one. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 7, we're looking here at the building of the temple. So many years later, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 7, there's a need. God has imposed a need in building this glorious temple of Solomon. Again, every stone and every leaf of gold and every piece of mahogany and everything about it redounded to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in the book of 1 Kings chapter 7, there in verse 13 and 14, the scriptures tell us this. And King Solomon sent, now notice this word, and fetched. King Solomon. Now, we have that word when David said, is there any of the household of Saul that's left? And word got to him that there was a grandson, Mephibosheth, and he's down in Lodibar. What did David do? He sent and fetched him. King Solomon sent and fetched Hiram out of Tyre. He was a widow's son of the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in brass, and he was filled with wisdom and understanding and cunning to work in all in brass, and he came to King Solomon and wrought all his work. God called him out of Tyre, brought him to the presence where all this construction was going on, and guess what? God gave him the understanding and the ability and the knowledge of what was required. It is God. It pleased God to do this. It pleased God to build a beautiful temple. It pleased God to have a tabernacle built there in the wilderness. It pleased God. They would have not have built that. Natural man would not have built that. Natural man would not have built the temple. Natural man would never turn to Christ, but it pleases God to save his people from their sins. Now, over in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3, we have another instance like this where God gets involved. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. We are introduced again to a man by the name of Saul here. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Now, he is a servant in a local group, a local body of believers that believe the truth about the gospel. He has been saved by the grace of God. He is going to be used to write much of the New Testament about the grace of God. And he is going to be used to write a whole lot about those who do not believe the gospel of the grace of God. And this is the problem when you don't have Christ and his salvation and you don't have the grace of God. He brings that out. Well, here in the book of Acts chapter 13, he is in a church at Antioch. And there are certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, there are a number of people in there, and God is using them to preach the gospel there in Antioch, certain apostles, certain prophets. Now, notice here in verse 2, and as they ministered to the Lord, that's the ultimate goal of every minister of the gospel, is to serve the Lord. And these were doing that and fasted. You know, we brought out when we went over that over in the book of Nehemiah, or Ezra, excuse me, that word fasted often means to keep your mouth shut. You know what? They listened to God. And they would only share what God had given to them. And today, that's very easy. This is all I have. This is it, all any preacher needs right here. Just the word of God. That's what we have. He's made it so easy. We don't have other books that we go to. We go to the Word of God. Just as those three groups that were working there in the tabernacle, they were given instructions from God as it pleased Him. This group worked there. This group worked there. And this group worked there. And when it was finished, everything was moved. And when they were finished, everything was set up just exactly right. Just like it was there, is it over here? Well, notice here, as they ministered, chapter 13 and verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Now that's who gets involved here. That's the one we want. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, co-eternal, co-everything, co-powerful, co-sovereign. He spoke to them and said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands upon him, you know what they said there? God be with you as you travel. Wherever he leads you, God be with you. Wherever you go, may God bless you. Godspeed. They didn't have a special ceremony. They just laid their hands on him and sent them away. These that were sent away, Barnabas and Saul, we find out as they traveled, they preached the gospel every time they stopped. They preached the gospel here and they preached the gospel there. Sometimes they were in Athens. Sometimes they were in Corinth. Sometimes they were in Colossae. Sometimes they were in other places, but they had the same message for everybody, and that is the grace of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. These great examples are given to us that we might know that God is in charge of his people, and he does it as it pleases him. He was pleased to send out Barnabas and Saul. They didn't have to go to some society. They didn't have to go to some mission board. Amen. The Lord just called them and sent them out. And they were used mightily of the Lord in the preaching of the gospel. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, would you notice there with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Why does God require? Why did he require these certain activities of those three groups? Because it pleased him. That's the only requirement. It pleased him. Well, here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we have this great commentary on the preaching of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." Notice this. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." It pleased God. Amen. By the preaching of the gospel, by the preaching of Christ. No other way but this way. There was only one way that God expected and required that those 8,500 workers there did their job. It was as it pleased him. He moved, he asked him to tear it down at the appointed time. It's time to move on. And he asked him to set it up at the appointed time when he stopped. And he asked him to do it without complaint. And we don't have any complaint about it. Each one had their task and everyone did their part because it pleased God. Now notice here in this passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And we know from comparing scripture to scripture where that belief comes from. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called. Unto them which are called. Both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. When it pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God. Now, would you join me in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There's a lot of discussion in here about the resurrection. There seemed to be a lot of confusion. Guess what? There is today too. When it's going to take place, how it's going to take place. It just seems like that God doesn't have the power to be able to take one of his saints that got ate by a fish and put him back together. That's not a problem with an almighty God. Well, here in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 35, it says, "But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" Some men will ask that question. "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that which shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or it some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it pleased him to do every seed his own body. Now, when we look over into the Old Testament, the book of Genesis in the creation says, and every tree bore fruit after its kind. Well, he's sharing that principle right here. He says, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another kind of flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Why? It pleased him. And there's celestial bodies, and there are bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial in the one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon. Why? It pleased him. Amen. It pleased him to create a sun that puts off the light, and it pleased him to put a moon out that reflects the light. And another glory of the stars. And one star differeth from another star in glory. Why? It pleased him. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Why? It pleased him. It pleased him. But God giveth it a body as it pleased him. We heard this read earlier this morning, but I want to read verse 15 of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. As we look at this again, all that took place in the moving of the tabernacle was done as it pleased God. He chose the people to do it. He put them in the age group that he wanted. He had this group do this task as it pleased him. He had this group do this task as it pleased him. And today in the church, everyone is in the church as it pleased him. He calls his people out of any place and every place as it pleased him. He saves his people according to his good pleasure. So here in the book of Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, we have these words. Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia, and they have fallen into a pit, many of them, over the gospel, which is not a gospel. And he says here, this, listen to this. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Now, that's the answer to a lot of the questions that those folks had. Have you ever had this? Have you ever pleased God this way? When it pleased God to do this, when it pleased him. Now, everything God requires, he provides. Everything that God requires, he provides. He provided the people. He provided the task. He provided the responsibility. He placed them in each of those tribes according to his good pleasure. He put the Kohathites and the Gergesites and the Merarites in their proper place. And he had them do exactly what he wanted them to do. And he says, now, wherever it takes place, why did Abel give the required sacrifice? Because it pleased God. He revealed that unto him. It pleased him to offer a more acceptable sacrifice. His creation was created as it pleased him. Adam was created as it pleased him. Abel offered the required sacrifice because it pleased God. The flood came and Noah and his family were delivered from it as it pleased God. The languages were created at Babel as it pleased God. He's the one that came down and separated the language. Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees as it pleased God. And all the experiences of the children of Israel pleased God. And all the prophets spoke of Christ as it pleased God. And God saved all his elect for it pleased him. Christ went to the cross for it pleased God. He would be just and justifier, for it pleased him.
Amen.
He accepts only the work of his Son, for he pleased him. He will wait to wrap up this great mess till it pleases him. Well, let's go one verse more. We've read this, but I want to go back and reread it. It is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And with this we'll close. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. As all of those people were assigned a specific task to perform, the numbers were also assigned. The jobs were assigned. The place to begin was assigned. The place to end was assigned, as it pleased God. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, we have these words. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him.
Amen.
And the church can just say amen.
Amen.
As it pleased him. Well, until next time, we're back in the book of Numbers. God bless you. May you have a great week. May God's providence be courteous. Brother Nathan, if you'll come. I had a verse here I was going to read. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased.
Amen.
Psalm 115 and verse 3.